Welcome, everyone, to another fantastic edition of the Cybersecurity Matters podcast. I'm your host for today, Dominic Fogel. Really excited for today's guest, Mark Sangster from eSentire. He is a brilliant secure professional. Actually has a book coming out, which apparently is coming in the mail to me. It's an autographed copy, allegedly. Looking forward to reading that and adding that to my bookshelf. But enough about me and my excitement for the conversation. I'll pause, bring Mark in here, and we'll connect with him virtually. And here's to an awesome conversation. Stay tuned. Mark, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to join me on the Cybersecurity Matters podcast. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for the invite.
I know when you and I first had an initial convo a few weeks ago, I mean, I could initially feel the great chemistry there, so I'm really looking forward to the great conversation. First off, I want to talk about your book, which I was hoping was going to come in the mail. I know your marketing team told me that there was an autographed copy on its way, which I was really looking forward to showing to our audience. But alas, Canada Post, I guess, is a little too slow these days. But I'll send you a pic when I do get it, though. But I'd love to learn a bit more about the book, what the context of it is, what motivated you to read it, and who you think can benefit from reading it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, this was really a combination of, you know, 20 some years of work in the IT security industry, but really probably more of the last 10, where I've spent a lot of time working with, you know, executives, boards, senior technical practitioners. And, you know, what I saw was this constant sort of, you know, cycle of companies just not seeing themselves at risk to cybercrime, of course, being victimized. And often when it happened, because of the size of their business, they don't make the headlines, right? So they kind of suffered in silence. And because of that, you know, all the other businesses couldn't, you know, learn vicariously almost from that and, you know, and sort of take those lessons to heart. So this was an attempt to kind of tell some of their stories, again, not to blame, more to effectively, you know, expose the causes, to talk about, you know, how the criminals exploit them and, you know, to give them a path to, you know, protection, right? So it doesn't happen to them.
I love that. And you know, I'm one of the things I think is so important is just great stories and great narratives from people who have lived it and are sharing not just theoretical things but practical things. And you know, you were telling me that in our last conversation, so I'm really looking forward to reading that book, and I like to sharing it on LinkedIn once I do get it.
Yeah, fantastic.
somewhat switching gears, so I know one of the topics that we were bantering around in our sort of our prep convo was around digital transformation and, you know, how that's having an impact on areas like the Internet of Things and manufacturing sector. Curious to your thoughts there in terms of A, where we are in from a digital transformation, you know, journey perspective with those areas, and you know, where we're moving in what type of direction.
Yes, I mean, that's a great question. The reality is that we're a long way down the path when it comes to adopting emerging technology. You know, we're putting confidential data into the cloud, for example, and that's very commonplace. We're using industrial IoT, so no, you know, not simply smart bulbs and locks, but, you know, things that control big, heavy machinery and assembly lines and, you know, patient treatment and telemetry and so on. And, you know, at the end of the day, they greatly improve the way that we do business, right? Whether they streamline operations or whether they do a better job of patient care, right? And increasing, you know, the outcomes. And because of that, it means we're going to continue doubling down and investing in these types of connected technology. The problem is that it introduces what we call the OT or operational technology world that's used to, you know, manufacturing, healthcare, and so on, to all the sort of the issues and the risks that we have in the IT world that we've known to come and, you know, ironically love, you know, so things like hackers and people stealing data and, you know, intruding in our systems and so on. So that's where, you know, the reality is it means the companies sort of self-inflict a lot of risk in the equation. And, you know, they do it for good reason, right? So now the real issue is how do they protect themselves?
Yes. No, and when we're talking again, maybe just abstracting this even a bit further from a digital transformation perspective, digital transformation, means, I guess, different things to different organizations. Digital transformation at the enterprise level looks very different than digital transformation at the maybe the SMB level. And what we've seen with smaller and mid-sized organizations, many of them are truly digitally transforming from their last significant IT investment was maybe in the early 2000s when Bush was still president, and then all of a sudden, that's a very, very different than like you said there, maybe the IoT space or manufacturing space. When we're talking about even maybe security in the context of digital transformation, how important is it for security to be ingrained? Or baked into that process. That's not a you go on a transformation process, then you bolt on security after. Talk me through that, like how security needs to be intertwined and thought of as part of that transformation journey.
Yeah, that's also a critical point, right, for many, particularly SMB businesses to consider, which is security by design. So you're right, they end up adopting specific technology. So you think of like many of the services that we use, Office 365, customer databases and so on. They're all in the cloud. And we do that because, you don't have the on-premises investment. It's more cost effective, it's faster to market, all that kind of great stuff. But if you consider security after the fact, and I see that all too often, right? That's one of the biggest issues is the ink is drying on the contract, and then it's like, oh yeah, we should probably have our IT security people take a look at this, and that's where often those things get exploited, or they just don't understand, and they make assumptions about the security. So, for example, well, I'm using Office 365, or I'm using Amazon Web Services, or whatever it might be, and they think, well, these are big smart companies with lots of assets and lots of resources, and so they know what they're doing. And they're right, but there are still security obligations, on the SMB end, and they often just sort of falsely assume, I think, that these big companies have got their back. And what they don't understand is, yeah, they're responsible for making sure people don't get into those overall, systems, like getting into the warehouse per se. What they keep forgetting about is, their credentials are their responsibility, right? If they hand their key to the bad guy, well, that's not the landlord's problem.
Right, exactly. And maybe diving a bit, further into the Internet of Things, IoT, and then some of the security ramifications around that. So I know there's, even with IoT, there's the consumer side, and then there's, things which are maybe you mentioned earlier, the IIoT, industrial Internet of Things. So on the consumer side, I know we've seen a huge just mishmash of poor security from that perspective. Maybe just sticking on the consumer side for this part of the question. In your eyes, do you see that improving over time? Are we going to need like greater consumer regulations, or greater consumer advocacy before we see security being not even just a key feature, but something that has to be baked in? Because right now, security just doesn't seem to be top of mind for any consumer Internet of Thing device. Curious to your thoughts on that.
Yeah, so I completely agree. Like if we go sort of, south of industrial IoT, where perhaps you have more resources, investment, and so on, when you're talking about consumer grade technology, right? As we saw with, the shift to shelter and work from home with COVID, that suddenly you're putting your trust in consumer grade tech, which, is good, but it's not as hardened as commercial or enterprise tech. And I think what's worse is that people don't understand, right? So they put in smart locks or bulbs or, their, refrigerator can tell them when they're out of milk. And I think these things are all pretty, exciting and interesting. But they don't understand that that also can be a vector to access their bank account, right? Or steal their identity and so on. And so, yeah, I do think some advocacy is needed here. If you think about, things like other forms of risk. So, you think of like UL, labels on an electric appliance. It says like don't put a, don't stick a metal utensil in the toaster when it's plugged in. We're all used to that stuff. But what we're not used to is, when you give grandma, the smart toaster for Christmas, and now some bad guy on the other side of the world is using it to access your bank account. There was no safety sticker on the side of the toaster for that. So, I do think we need to see some advocacy, some education, and ultimately, like even a multi-tiered approach to this when it comes to different types of IoT and, you know, the risk associated with them. So treat them just like, you know, they're a massive transformer, an electric plant, right on down to, you know, that toaster blender that's sitting on your kitchen counter.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. You know, and then on the flip side of that, you know, on the like from the industrial side or the organizational side of IoT, who's generally leading that in terms of maybe implementation? Is that like the technology team, the operations team, especially if it's like operational technology? And then is security brought in at all? I'm curious to what you've seen in on the business side.
Yeah, so I think you're exposing probably one of the biggest issues when it comes to the adoption of these types of technologies, which is in the past, a lot of times technology was driven by those expert kind of practitioners, right? It was IT saying, hey, we could automate this, right? We could make this more streamlined, whatever it is. Now it's quite the opposite. Now it's the business side. Now it is the operational side. And, you know, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because if you think about like in an industrial commercial setting, the engineers who are responsible for building out those automated systems, their bonuses are predicated on, you know, you've reduced operational costs or you've increased manufacturing throughput. So they're going to do whatever it takes to make that happen. And so IT is often disconnected. And unfortunately, it's, you know, OT does have the sort of the more direct line to the front office and, you know, to profits. So they get the lion's share of attention. IT is the one that understands the risk better and has a better approach when it comes to doing this safely. So really the two do have to start talking, but right now it's the operational slash business side that's driving.
And you know, it, in terms of why they're not talking, I know a lot of this is you know, historical items as well. In terms of going from what, you know, what's broken in terms of not communicating to a spot where they're going to start actually collaborating and working together. What are certain tactics that organizations can make? I mean, they don't all necessarily have to be in a circle and sing kumbaya, but how do we get them to at least get the best out of each other rather than staying as individual fiefdoms as they still are in many cases?
Yeah, that's a good point, right? We're probably a little ways away from them sitting around campfires singing songs, but I think
a few years out, I think.
Side, yeah, we're a few years out. You know, here I think really it's beholden on the IT teams to work with their execs to explain the risks, right? And you know, to kind of create that risk registry in the minds of, you know, the board and the executives so that they understand what this looks like moving forward. So they're not viewed, I think, in sort of, you know, you think about security and, you know, years gone by, it was like an inconvenience. It's a pain in the butt, a necessary evil. Take your pick. And we need to, you know, sort of move beyond that, right? And I do think the biggest barrier right now is that, as I said, the operational people are tied to the revenue stream, right? Or to the cost metrics that they can manage and reduce. IT has to do the same thing, right? So they need to stop talking about ones and zeros, and they need to start talking about dollars and cents, talk about risk equations, and use the same kind of vernacular that you know, the executives do, because as soon as you start talking their language, it resonates, they start to get it. You know, versus the you know, versus sort of constantly, you know, showing them, look, here's all these, you know, here's what our pen tests tell us, and here's how many ports have been scanned and how many credentials have been harvested and all this kind of stuff that, you know, they just look at and go, yeah, okay, that's, you know, so what, you know, or it becomes the, you already have all this budget for these things. You know, we have a firewall and antivirus. Why do we need, you know, why do we need this new shiny box? And, you know, so it's convert the conversation, right? Like, yeah, to some degree, they have to change here, right? They have to think more like an executive and less like a technical practitioner.
Exactly. You know, a question I'd love to ask, and it's somewhat of a detour, but that whole concept, again, especially for organizations that have, you know, a security team, you know, we constantly hear about this term of alert fatigue, in which security teams are just not able to be efficient or effective with the secure technologies that are at their disposal. In your mind, how do we get past this alert-driven state and past alert fatigue? What's next? I mean, I'm sure there's going to have to be a paradigm shift of sorts, because the finding the needle in the haystack type approach right now with many secure technologies is broken. There's just too much damn hay.
So yeah, 100%.
How do we get past that? I'm just curious to your thoughts.
Yeah. So, you know, alert fatigue, I think, is a big issue. And really what we need to do is we need to shift from like those sort of technical outcomes to talk about the business outcomes, right? So thinking about it in terms of, you know, is this a breach? Has there been a regulatory violation here? Or was this a near miss, right? And to consider what that looks like and to consider what the costs of that event, you know, in a negative consequence, what that would mean. So as I said, yeah, it's like, stop talking about the number of port scans and intrusions and all that kind of stuff, because I know you're trying to use it as a big scary metric with a lot of red on the chart, but the reality is it doesn't resonate. And you know, from a technical perspective, I think the reality is as you open the aperture, you know, as you bolt on new technology, as you connect more things through IoT or whatever it is, in doing that, right, you are going to continually increase the volume of this of the data, of the signal that you get. Or I should say of the noise that you have to, you know, then find the signal in, right? Like you use the needle in the haystack analogy. And I think that's where we can see a blending of, you know, artificial intelligence and human capability and expertise, which is AI, machine learning, algorithms, whatever you want to call it, are really good at doing repetitive tasks over large volumes of data, right? They don't get distracted by colleagues or decide they have to go for a coffee. Conversely, humans have intuition and a gut, and they can look and see that if A, B, and C equals bad, when they find A, B, and X, that, you know what, 2 out of 3 is suspicious, and I'm willing to investigate that, right? And algorithms aren't always as great at doing that. So I think there is a real combination and frankly, a real synergy between the two as a way of, you know, automation removing a lot of false positives. But, you know, it doesn't replace people, because people at the end are the ones, as I say, right? They're the ones with intuition who can take the investigation the last mile to determine whether or not it is malicious or whether or not it's, you know, it's benign.
I appreciate that insight. That's absolutely fascinating. Like you said there, that's synergy. You know, it's not machines replacing humans or humans having disdain for machines. It's about harmonizing and synergy. I love that. One more quick question. I know we're running low on time here. For our viewers and listeners who aren't familiar with eCentire, I mean, eCentire is a Canadian success story, especially in the cybersecurity space. If you could maybe summarize what eCentire does, who they serve, I think that'd be a fantastic, like I said, for our viewers and listeners to be more informed about this Canadian success story.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So eCentire, by, you know, sort of security category, is a managed detection and response firm. So what that really means is on a 24/7 basis, we have security analysts, over 100 and some in our operation centers, who effectively monitor what we've just been talking about, right? So IoT and endpoints with remote workers and the network and cloud-based services and so on, they're looking for those suspicious indicators. And when they find something, their job is to investigate it effectively in real time, right, with immediate response. And if they deem it to be malicious, then they stop it, right? So they might be containing devices, blocking traffic, whatever it might be. And ultimately, I talked about outcomes, and that's the point of this, right, is 24/7 monitoring, looking for suspicious activity. And when they find it, they stop it before it becomes business disrupting. So the way I put it is, it's like we spend all our days cleaning up spilled milk, right, minor little intrusions, because we'd much rather do that than we would see it metastasize, you know, over the months, right, where you have a high dwell time, and then that turns into a business disrupting event, right, whether it's ransomware and it's a massive operational disruption, or it's, you know, a huge theft, or, you know, something along those lines that have a, you know, cause irreparable harm to the business. And, you know, and we do that across, you know, thousands of clients, and those clients are in all sorts of different industries like finance, healthcare, manufacturing, legal, transportation, technology, and so on. And, you know, it's really those companies that have come to recognize they have valuable assets. They are a target. Someone does want to do them harm. And they're looking for, you know, a service provider who can protect them and proactively protect them against the types of threats that we see every day.
Mark, thank you so much for coming in virtually and absolutely crushing this conversation. It was absolutely fantastic. Thoroughly enjoyed every minute. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, really looking forward to reading your book when it does arrive via mail. But thank you again so much for taking time of your busy day to join us today. Really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. And let me know what you think once you've had a read.
We'll do. I will be right back after this brief break here to conclude today's episode. Hopefully everyone saw and heard how incredibly intelligent and knowledgeable Mark is in the field of cybersecurity. I was really, really interested in how he was talking about digital transformation and how that all connects to the journeys when we're talking about Internet of Things or the industrial Internet of Things and the manufacturing sector. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how the different organizations in different sectors and even amongst enterprises and small, mid-sized organizations, the types of digital transformation journeys they'll be embarking in the coming years. I want to thank Mark and eSentire for that amazing conversation. That was thoroughly enjoyable. I at least enjoy it. I hope our loyal listeners and viewers enjoy it as well. I want to remind everyone, if they're interested in other amazing podcasts, to check out the Conversations That Matter YouTube page. Phenomenal podcast from all sorts of different walks of life and different interest levels. So please do check that out. But until next time, thank you again, as always, for your loyal listenership and for spending some time with us. Until next week, be well, be safe, be awesome. And we look forward to having you join us again on another edition of the Cybersecurity Matters podcast.